Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. For this week's episode, with either a fantasy championship on the line for those who play 2 weeks or a spot to the fantasy championship on the line, I'll go through our week 16 rankings and provide various thoughts at each position. So starting at quarterback, the upside for Bo Nix was on display last week in the win over Green Bay. He had over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns through the air, flashed his accuracy, playmaking, vision all over the field, his mobility to avoid sacks. So we have him as the overall QB3 this week versus Jacksonville. I mentioned, as I called him a buy low multiple times throughout the season, that this would be a great matchup for him, with the Jags being better attacked through the air than on the ground. So after a high-end QB1 day last week, Nick should be a high-end QB1 this week, so make sure he's locked into lineups. Beyond the top three of Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Nick's, things are a bit cloudier. I would put Justin Herbert fourth despite a disappointment last week. Much a better matchup versus Dallas, so he's a QB4. As a QB5, hopefully Joe Burrow gets T. Higgins back, in which case we'd feel a lot better about him. The Dolphins have played better defensively until Monday night, but I don't think they have the options on the back end to stop Jamar Chase and Higgins, so Burrow is the QB5. Dropping down a couple of spots as a QB7, we have Jared Goff versus Pittsburgh. The Steelers might be tougher with Asante Samuel at the other cornerback spot across from Joey Porter Jr., but this one comes at home for Detroit, and they've been on fire since Dan Campbell took over as a play caller, ranking as the top offense in football. So after close to 25 fantasy points last week, with the offensive line holding up well versus the Rams, Goff should be a clear QB1 at home for a potential shootout. And on the other side of that, Aaron Rodgers should be a high-end QB2, again, for likely a high-scoring game, and the injuries for the Lions on the back end should make things easier on Rodgers, who has seemed to take more control of the offense over the past 2 wins. And then the final name I'll mention here, after becoming the first quarterback to reach 20 fantasy points against the Texans, it's certainly time to put Jacoby Brissett in the QB1 ranks. The Falcons showed some fight last week in the win over Tampa Bay, but they were getting beat quite a bit, including down the field by Mike Evans. I think Baker Mayfield had 277 passing yards, so whether or not Marvin Harrison Jr. is back for Arizona, Brissett I think has at least 18.5 fantasy points in every game this season, so he makes the top 12 at quarterback and is the top streaming option if still available and you need help at the position. At running back, I have a difficult decision in my league between Travis Etienne versus Denver and Quinshon Judkins versus the Bills. We have both in the top 12 at running back. Buffalo has been shredded by opposing backfields, including last week with Travion Henderson having 2 50-yard touchdowns, so we'll see if the other Ohio State rookie can have success as well. But I'm leaning towards Etienne because the injuries for Cleveland up front could make running room tougher to come by. The advantage he gets is the game being at home, and the Bills fundamentally just haven't been great defending the run, but I would think they'll be trying to stack the box and trying to stop Judkins before he can get going. I was originally going to play Judkins over Etienne in my league, but the finger injury to Bahaishul Tutton should give Etienne the clear goal line role, which hasn't always been the case, and he's gone for 14-plus fantasy points in all but one game since the bye over the past several weeks, and I have more trust in the Jacksonville offense than I do Cleveland's, but we'll see if the Browns are healthier up front to maybe flip things back towards Judkins, but both very good plays as RB1s. Beyond that, running back, similar to last week, I would say is pretty straightforward. So for the guys to maybe not avoid, but temper expectations, starting with Omarion Hampton versus Dallas, seems like a good matchup on paper, but the Cowboys much better versus the run recently, and Hampton continues to split work with Kamani Vidal. So we have Hampton outside the top 24. I would rather start guys like Tyrann Tracy Jr., who has been excellent in 3 of the past 4 games, and David Montgomery, who is always a decent bet to find the end zone in a high-powered offense. And on the other side of that Steelers-Lions game, Kenneth Gainwell has been excellent, including on Monday night, and the same is true for Jaylen Warren, but I think Detroit will be geared up to stop the run, and feels like more of a game where the Steelers could attack in the secondary, so I'd put Warren and Gainwell both more in the flex range, especially with the game coming on the road, and with Detroit now playing for their playoff lives. And for the fill-in options, I wouldn't be too hyped about either of Aldrick Estime, if Devin Neal and Alvin Kamara are out, or Michael Carter, assuming Bam Knight is out. And I'd rather play Ja'Cory Crosby-Merritt, whether or not Chris Rodriguez is back. After a strong game last week, JCM should be at least a solid flex as he auditions for a role in 2026. At wide receiver, as mentioned, I expect the Steelers to play more through the air this week versus Detroit. So DK Metcalf we have as a wide receiver 9 in our week 16 rankings. On Monday night, he had the highlight touchdown where he essentially powered into the end zone using a stiff arm to get free. And he can be a mismatch versus a smaller cornerback group for Detroit. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers knows that, so I'd look for him to be heavily involved in a game the Steelers will have to score points in, and that includes in scoring territory, as I doubt the Lions will be using the double coverage technique they used last week on Devontae Adams. So Metcalf should be a definite wide receiver one this week. As the wide receiver 15, we have Ladd McConkey versus Dallas. He had a quiet game last week versus Kansas City, but this is a much easier matchup. I don't think McConkey will see much of Deron Bland, so I like him to beat up on the other cornerbacks and be at least a high-end wide receiver two to hopefully make up for last week with a disappointing outing. And right behind him, we have Michael Wilson versus the Falcons. Last week, a matchup versus Houston didn't matter for him. He still made plays, including on Derek Stingley Jr., caught 5 passes for 54 yards and a touchdown. So with him and Jacoby Brissett both performing versus Houston, I don't think there's any reason to believe they'll slow down. And Wilson also passes the eye test with how he's improved as a route runner. So consider him a borderline top 15 option with a case to be even higher based on the floor and upside he's shown. As wide receiver 26, we have Jaden Reed versus Chicago. We'll see if Christian Watson can play. I'd feel decent about his chances, but I would think the Bears will be more focused on him in the rematch after 2 touchdowns the first time. For Reed, he's cleared 50 yards in both appearances since his return, and he gets a good outlook with Romeo Doubs set to see a lot of Jalen Johnson. And again, Watson probably seeing more tension in the rematch. So we have Reed as a wide receiver 26 and someone that's available in quite a few leagues. So definitely someone to consider if you need help at wide receiver. And like running back, you ideally don't need to dig deep for a start. But for the lottery ticket types, I like Marvin Mims versus Jacksonville after he provided a spark with increased usage last week in the win over Green Bay. Again, Jacksonville better attack through the air than on the ground. And I also like Luther Burden, assuming he's healthy enough to go. I think I saw he left on a cart at the end of Sunday's game, but haven't really seen an update since then. And he's caught 3 passes in every game since the start of November. He's gone for 70-plus total yards in each of the past 2 weeks, including 4 catches for 67 yards against Green Bay a couple of weeks ago. So if he's healthy and able to go on Saturday night, Burden we have as a wide receiver 32 and someone who could be available if you need to start. Finishing things off at tight end, Kyle Pitts is coming off a historic performance last Thursday night in the win over Tampa Bay. Raheem Morris has expressed optimism about Drake London being back this week, but I actually think that could be a plus for him. I'm sure the Cardinals would be keen on Pitts based on what he did last week and really over the past 3 weeks, but that'll be tougher to do with London back, and the Falcons won't suddenly go away from Pitts based on what he's done recently. So we like him as a top 3 option at tight end with a high floor and an increased ceiling as we saw last week. As the tight end 6, we have Darren Waller. It wasn't a comeback effort, but he caught 2 touchdowns in the loss to Pittsburgh on Monday night. He now has 6 scores on 20 receptions in 6 games this season. And the Baltimore tight ends didn't do anything last week in the win over the Bengals. But 1 week isn't enough to suddenly downgrade that matchup. They're still allowing the most fantasy points to the position. And Lamar Jackson only completed 8 passes in that game, which was a weird one. So Waller should be a top 6 option at tight end and carries major upside based on his touchdown ability in Mike McDaniel's offense. And the final name I'll mention is Colby Parkinson versus Seattle. Devontae Adams will almost certainly be out, so that opens up some red zone opportunities for others. Last week it was Parkinson that stepped up. He caught 5 passes for 75 yards and 2 touchdowns, and quietly he's caught 6 scores over the past 6 games. And Parkinson's always a player we've liked, dating back to his time in Seattle. He found the end zone against them in the first meeting this year. So Parkinson is a legit tight end one, and someone that could be picked up and started on Thursday night. So that will conclude this episode. As always, you can find our full rankings on wolfsports.com. And if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Dylan Chapin. This was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.